You know, there's a teaching that was out and still out some about concerning the development of children. It was thought and taught by some that when children come into this world, they're like a blank slate. They're really neither good nor bad. That the teaching that they receive and then the environment that they are in, that person will be shaped and they will either be a good person or a bad person. Of course, the truth is that that's not true. People do not come into this world as blank slates. In fact, we come into this world, we come in really with two different aspects. One is what we find in Psalm 139. We come into this world as special and unique people created by God in His image and created with different personalities and bents and those kind of things. We are unique and special. He formed us and made us and says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can look, I can look at my two children and the difference in Catherine and Sarah. You can look at your children. You can look at yourself if you don't have any children. You can think of your brothers and your sisters, how different each person is. God in His special way has created each one of us individual and unique. But there's a second way that we come into this world, and that's found in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 and in many other places in the Bible. We come into this world fallen. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We come into this world with a natural bent to do wrong. Nobody teaches children to do wrong. We have to teach people to do right. And so we are unique, special, and different, as well as being fallen and sinful. And there is a God-given relationship between parents and children. It is to take the children to help them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and then to help them to live according to the Word of God, and then to develop according to their personality, their strengths, their talents that God has given to them. Parents and children, a very special and important relationship given by God. How important is it? What difference does it make? I want to read you about a life. This comes from James Dobson in his book, Hide and Seek. He describes a life of a man who was shaped, of course, by his parental relationship. Now listen to this. His life began with handicaps. His mother had been married and divorced twice, and her third husband, his father, died just 2 months before he was born. He was raised by a domineering mother. She gave him no affection, no love, no discipline, and no training in his early years. In fact, he was forbidden to call her at work. At age 13, a school psychologist wrote about him in his file. It says, he doesn't even know the meaning of the word love. Despite having a high IQ, he failed high school, dropped out, joined the Marines. But due to a lack of discipline and resisting authority, he was discharged. He moved to a foreign country and married a girl who had been an illegitimate child and then came back to America. But she also dominated him and his marriage, and that crumbled. She pushed him out of the home. He came back, begged her to take him back, and she refused. And he thought, nobody wanted him. Nobody ever wanted him. The next day he went to his garage, got out a rifle that he had hidden there, and went to his newly acquired job, which was at a book storage building. And from the third-story window, on November 22, 1963, he fired two shots, killing President John Kennedy. His name, Lee Harvey Oswald. He was the rejected, unloved man. See, the relationship between parents and children is very important. It is given to us by God. And this morning, as we continue to look at the families, we're going to look at the role of the children and the role of the parents. They go together. And this morning, the emphasis, and get ready, children, the emphasis is on you. And next week, the emphasis will be on the parents. You know, after the first week, we did the role of the wife. Many of the men went out and said, hey, good job, and went out. And then last time, it was the role of the husbands, and the wives went out and went, good job, you know, get them. And now, and now this week, the parents will be able to go, hey, yeah, you better listen to that. And then next week, the children can look at their parents and say, you better listen to that. And all of us look at all of these verses and we say, we better listen to what it has to say. Let's remember where we are in our study. Of course, Colossians is four chapters, and the first two chapters deal with instructions and teaching. And then the last two chapters, chapters 3 and 4, are the application section where Paul says, live out the truths. And the key there is we're to live as those who are connected with Jesus Christ as God's children. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, since we have been raised up with Christ, we're to live like those who are raised up with Christ. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 3 says, We're to live as those who have put off the old and put on the new. In chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1, we're looking at this little section that we're calling relationships. It deals with marriage and family, even basically says slaves and masters, but we could call it workers and bosses. The roles deal with wives, husbands, children, parents, workers, bosses. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the roles of the wife and the husband. We've been looking at marriage. Now, beginning for the next couple of weeks, we will look at the role of the children and the parents, and we'll call that the family. And there's a great truth that Christian homes don't just happen, they are built. Let's think about children. Think about our children. You know, we think of them almost in a process because they're born into this world and they're just little babies and they come in there and they're so innocent looking. I remember going to the hospital to see the Schrammels little girls. Just two beautiful little babes there and little hats on and they're just so beautiful. And we look at them and we go, aren't they the most innocent little sweet things? And they look like it, but they're not. The Schrammels probably are, but most everybody else's aren't. Because we know that children come into this world and we come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And we begin, as parents, a process to train them. We teach them. We wait for the day that they walk and we wait for the way that they talk. And then, pretty soon, we want them to sit down and to be quiet. And then there's that process of training them in the Word of God and training them in, as Paul says in Ephesians, in the teaching and the admonition of the Lord. And then they move into adolescence. And there's many times open conflict. You remember what Mark Twain said? He writes this. He says, you know, when children get 13 years old, what you should do is put them in a barrel and feed them through a hole in the barrel. He says, when they get 17, plug up the hole. He may be right. Okay. The plan is we train them so that they will know Jesus Christ as Savior and that they will be able to leave home and to function in society and make a difference for Jesus. That's the plan. How do we view our children? You remember the article that I read about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the people who had written into Ann Landers, and she had asked how many people would have children again, and something like 68% of them said they wouldn't have children again because they got in the way and they cost too much money and they bothered them. See, that's the way some people look at their children, that they're in their way and they bother them. Psalm 127:1 says that we should view our children as a gift from God, that we're entrusted with them for a short time. Time goes by so fast. And they're gifts from our gracious God. This morning, we will look at children and parents. So we'll go see both verses 20 and 21, where the emphasis will be on the children. The next week, it'll be on the parents. Remember, the character of our children tomorrow depends on what we put in their hearts today. Let's look at these two verses. We'll go over them very quickly. We'll look at them as a whole, and then we'll come back to verse 20. Verse 20 begins this way. It says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Starts off by just saying, be obedient. Children are to obey their parents. It says, in all things. Not just some things, all things. And it goes on to say, why? Because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so verse 20 basically says, children, obey your parents. This pleases God. In turn, verse 21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. See, it says fathers here because the father is the head of the home, but we'll see in other places that it's speaking both to the moms and dads. We see that they're not to exasperate the children. That literally means to make angry, to frustrate. And he's talking about in the teaching process because of the responsibility of the parents to teach the children. He basically says, in the teaching process, don't frustrate your children because they'll lose heart. You ever heard somebody say, I'm never able to please my folks? I had a friend, he ran on the track team and when I was coaching at Mississippi State, and he told me one time, I remember, he'll never forget, he finished second in the SEC indoor. That was great for him. He was great. I mean, we were hugging and everything, and his dad came over to him and said, you know, if you'd have just got that leg over one more time, you could, you know. He said, you know, my whole life my dad has never said, you did it, that was great. He always said, well, that was fine, however. He said, I never pleased him. Frustrated. Frustrated. Fathers, don't make your children angry as we teach them. So Colossians says, a dual aspect, children obey, parents don't frustrate in the teaching. and we'll see the details as we go in our study. Let's look at the role of the children. Look at verse 20. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And it starts with the word children, and in the Greek it's the word technon. It literally means just an offspring. He's really not talking about age here, because this word could refer to a very small child, and it could refer to a grown adult, but that they're the children of somebody. So the idea here is from the little ones all the way to grown men and women who still have, in a sense, their elderly parents, you might say. The context in this passage, though, is in the home environment. So we're thinking more of children at this time, but you'll see how it'll tie into every one of us who still have parents, you might say. He says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Before we get into the responsibilities, let's think about the rights. What rights do children have? You know, there's some people pushing children's rights that they're supposed to be completely separate from their parents. Even at age 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, their parents can't tell them anything to do. They've got all these rights. Well, I think that's wrong. But children do have rights. Let me tell you what one of them is. It is the right to be born. The right to come into this world. See, there are many who want to take that away from them. There are many of them that don't want them to have that right, that once they're conceived, that they have the right to be born, to actually live on this earth. They have a second right. It's the right to be taken care of. See, it's the parents' responsibility to take care of their children, and they have the right that when they're brought into this world, that they're taken care of. Third, they have the right to be taught the truth from the Word of God, the truths and the principles from God's Word. They have the right to know what is right and what is wrong. But with these rights, there are responsibilities. And as we look at the Word of God this morning, just briefly, we're going to look at three places, three major responsibilities of the children. And really, in a sense, if you've got parents, it doesn't matter if you're in your 40s or 50s, if you've got parents, look at these passages, because some of it will apply to you. Here's the first one. It's found in verse 20, of course. It says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." The very first aspect of a child's responsibility is to obey his parents. That's a special word. It's the Greek word hupoakouo. Let me tell you what it means. Hupo means under. Akouo means to hear. It means to hear under. It means to listen to your parents. They are the authority. They have been placed as the authority, and the children are to come under the authority of their parents. The word is translated obey. Children are to do what their parents say. They're to listen. God has entrusted you to your parents, and you are under their authority, and you are to obey. As I said a while ago, the word literally means to listen under or to hear under. We are to listen to our parents. The plan is that God has for your parents to train you and to teach you truths and principles from the Word, and you are to listen and learn from them. That's the plan. Those of us who are parents, we realize, just by looking at this, that we are to teach our children truths from the Word of God. The children's responsibility is to listen to their parents and to learn. I want you to see some places. Hold your place with me and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, or the very first proverb. What we realize it is the responsibility of the parents to teach the children is the responsibility of the children to listen to their parents and to understand and to make application. Look what we see, Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." See, it's both. Father and mother are to teach. And he says, listen, son, listen to what your father teaches. Don't forsake what your mother teaches. Verse 8 says, "Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck." They're good for you. See, sometimes teenagers, especially teenagers, they don't think their parents know anything. There was a famous saying that when I was 15, my father was so stupid. And when I became 21, it's amazing how much my father learned in those short years. And sometimes that's what our teenagers think. We need to listen to the instructions of our parents. Look at chapter 3 of Proverbs. Look at verse 1. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. That's from a father to a son. Look at verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He says, obey the teaching of your father. Trust in Him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Notice what he says. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. That's very similar to the very first one. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. The teachings, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. And when you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. He's saying, children, listen to your parents. Your parents are entrusted with teaching you truths from the Word of God. And listen to what they have to say. Bind them around your neck because they are what you need. They are what's best for you. They will be a guide and protection. Children, obey your parents. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing from the Lord. We are to listen and to learn from our parents. But there are two aspects. He says, in all things, for this is well-pleasing. First of all, it is complete. We're to listen in all things. And then there's a reason for this, because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let's look at this verse completely. He says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. See, not just the things you want to do, but the things that they tell you to do. Obey your parents. You are under their authority. Placed there by God. Let me raise a question. Do children really want and need structure and authority? I found a study by a man by the name of Dr. Stanley Cooper Smith. He did a study from University of California dealing with 2,000 middle-class boys. He started the study when they were in elementary school. He took it all the way up till they were in their 20s. And they did some tests to find out which of these guys had the best self-esteem. What brought about high self-esteem? And here's what they found out. Number one is that high self-esteem was brought about when the children and their family units knew that they were loved and appreciated by their mom and dad. Number two, listen to this one. High self-esteem was brought about by parents who were more strict in approach to discipline. They taught their children to obey. The families with more accountability and responsibility, these boys had higher self-esteem. And number three, higher self-esteem was in a home in which the kids and the boys felt that they could express themselves and they had an attitude of acceptance. Children, obey your parents. It's for your own good. It's for our own good. He says, in all things. And then he says the reason why. He says, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is well-pleasing. God is pleased when we fulfill our role. Sometimes when we're young children, we don't think we can do anything for God. He says, oh, yes, you can. You can please me. You can please me right now. Obey your parents, and you will please me. There's so much more dealing with obedience. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Just turn a couple of pages toward the front of your Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says pretty much the same thing, but I want you to see some more things there. Just a couple of pages back toward the front. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, pretty much the same thing. Obey your children in the Lord. The idea there is as unto the Lord, realizing that your parents have been placed there by God in that responsibility. And so when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it's to the fact that it is the Lord who has set those parents in that position. This is what's right. This is what you're supposed to be done. Let me raise a question. What happens if you don't obey your parents? There are really two things. First thing is this. They're going to be disciplined. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, for whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and chastens every child He receives. And He goes on to say, for what father does not discipline his children? There will be discipline, both possibly from your parents and from God, if you disobey and do not come under their authority. But there's a second thing that can happen as well. And that there will be problems in life, because most likely, if you do not come under the authority of your parents, you will grow up
not respecting authority. You will defy your teachers. You will defy the police. You will not be subject to authority. The end result oftentimes is disaster. Because the truth is that prisons are full of people who refuse to come under authority. Children, obey your parents. This is what's right. Jerry Jenkins, he writes for Moody Monthly, wrote this in a letter to his son. And he says, as it is with all biblical commands, the payoffs for obedience are much more rewarding than any temporary pleasure. But the payoff for obeying the Word of God is always going to be better than any temporary pleasure in disobedience. Always. Children, obey your parents. As long as you are under their authority, you have the responsibility before God to obey them. As long as you live in their home, as long as they are providing for you, as long as they are legally responsible for you, you are under their authority, and as long as you are under their authority, you are to obey them in all things as unto the Lord, for this is what's right. So the first thing is obedience. There's a second thing, and it's found in verse 2 of chapter 6 here. It says, verse 1, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is what's right. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. The second responsibility that you have as a child is to honor your mother and father. See, honor means to show respect. Show respect to your mother and father. They are given to you as mother and father from God. There will come a time when you will no longer be under their authority and you don't have to obey. But you will always honor them for as long as they live. Honor means show respect. It means to treat them with respect. Now, you may say, but you don't know my parents. They're not worthy of respect. Listen, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the person. We're talking about the position. They have been placed by God in the position of your parents. And you're to honor that and honor them. You may disagree with them, but you're to honor them. It says this is the first commandment of the promise. If you go back to the Ten Commandments, it's in there, and it's the first one that has a promise connected to it, and it basically promises blessing in your life for obedience there. Let me say this for the children. Most of the parents that I know, they're trying real hard. We make mistakes, but we love you. We want the best for you. We want you to trust Christ and grow up and to be like Him. We're on your side. We want what's best for you. And sometimes children think the parents are against them. Parents aren't against you. We love you. And children, most of the parents I know are doing everything they can what they think is best for you. So not only do you obey them, but you honor them. So we obey as long as we're under their authority. We honor them as long as they live. And then there's a third thing. And it may be a surprise to you. The third thing is, are you ready for this one? You provide for your parents. And you may say, wait a minute. We've already been through this. And we found out that it is the dad's responsibility to provide for the needs of the family. That's true. But there may come a time when you as the children are to provide for the needs of your parents. There may come a time when they are older and they are not able to take care of themselves. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and as you're turning there, it's right toward the back of your book, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Philemon, all those in that little area there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first section of it is basically talking about the church's responsibility for widows. The care and instruction of how to deal with the widows in the local body. And they list two types of widows. There's the widow, who they just call widow, who has lost her husband, still has family. And then there's one called the widow indeed, who has no family, lost her husband, but she doesn't have anybody to take care of her. And in the context of this passage, he basically says, if there are widows indeed within your body, and they have no one to take care of them, and they have been involved in the local body, then it is responsibility of the church to take care of them. But what about widows? And he's using widows in this. It could be widowers. What about widows who have children? What's the responsibility? Look at verse 4. 1 Timothy 5, verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, there's the children, let them, the grandchildren or the children, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now here's what he says. If there's a widow who has needs, or a widower would be the other context, if there's a parent that has children and they have needs, it is the responsibility of the children to meet those needs and to take care of them. Look what he says. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn piety. The word piety literally means to show honor. It has the idea of giving. He goes on to say, and make some return to their parents. That word in Greek literally means to give back to your parents. See, your parents gave to you. It is your responsibility to give back to them. When you were little and couldn't take care of yourself, they took care of you. As you grew up, they kept taking care of you until you were out on your own, so to speak. And there may come a time when they're not able to take care of themselves any longer, whether it's financially or physically, and it is your responsibility as a child to go back and to take care of our parents. And there are many in this room, grown people in this room, who are right now taking care of their parents. I know them. They are providing for their moms and their dads who are no longer able to take care of themselves. There may come that time, children, as you not only obey your parents while you're under their authority and that you always honor them as long as they live, but there may come that time when your responsibility is to provide for them and take care of them. In the society that we live in, people are living longer and longer and longer. And we're to do this not with grumbling, not with a bad attitude. Yeah, I've got to go take care of my mother. I've got to take her shopping. She can't get out anymore. She can't drive. And we have to send my folks money every month. The income that they have is just not enough. It's not with a grumbling attitude. This passage literally says, as they took care of you, you learned to give back to them. A responsibility from God. Three things this morning that children are to do. We're to obey our parents as long as we're under their authority. We're to honor them as long as they live. And number three, we're to provide for them if the need arises. Back to Colossians chapter 3. I want to tie this back together with the role of the folks, with the role of the parents. Verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Be obedient, honor them, and provide for them if necessary. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. He says, fathers, don't make your children angry as you teach them, as the parents teach them. Don't make them angry or frustrated. Don't make the demand so great that there's no possible way they can please you. How do we do it? We do it by love. John Newton, man who wrote some hymns, you know what he said? He said, I know my father loved me, but he just didn't want me to see it. And that may be true in some of your lives. Some of you grew up with parents who did not show their love. They frustrated you. And if we are not careful, we will do the same thing to our children. He says, fathers, don't exasperate them. Don't frustrate them. We'll see the details on this roll next time because it says so that they won't lose heart. Children, honor, obey, and provide. Parents, don't frustrate them as you train them. May we fulfill our roles. Let me give you some applications, which is some details. Let's think about children. We're to fulfill our roles, our God-given roles in this family. And of course, this goes from the little ones all the way to us grown men and women who might have elderly parents. The first thing that we're to do is obey them. If you are under their authority, obey your parents in all things, not just what you want, but what they say. It is in the Lord. It is unto the Lord. The key is not whining, not talking back, not grumbling. Obey them as unto the Lord. When they tell you it's bedtime, go to bed. When they tell you to be in at 11 or 12 or 1 or 9:30, you be in. When they tell you these are the rules in our home, obey those rules. I've told this story before, but a college girl came to see me about 4 years ago, and she was mad at her mother. Because her mother, she was 23 years old, living at home. She was mad because her mother said she had to be in at 12 o'clock. She said, I'm 23 years old. I don't need to be in at 12 o'clock. I said, so you live at home? Yes. You live with your mother? Yes. Do you pay any rent? No. My mother, does your mother take care of that? Yes. Do you pay for any food? No. Does your mother provide the food? Yes. Your mother's provided for you, isn't she? Yes. Then do what she says. I don't like it. Well, then move out. I can't move out. I'd have to pay for all that stuff. I said, that's right. And as long as you are under her authority, if she says 10 o'clock, you come in at 10. Children, obey your parents in all things. This pleases God. Second, honor them. They have been given that position by God. And as I said a while ago, most all the parents I know are doing the best they can. They love you. They are trying to do what is best. Honor them in that position that God has given them and put you in. And third, provide for them. There are many in this church who are providing for their parents right now, taking care of their elderly parents. And for you that are young and your parents are young and you just can't picture the time that your folks couldn't take care of themselves, it may happen. And it'll be your responsibility to take care of them. Parents, let's take seriously our role to train up the children in love, not to frustrate them, not to cause them to lose heart. But we may even, starting today, and we'll see more on this next week, we ought to start and examine how we're dealing with our children out of love and respect or in harshness. And we'll see more of that next time. May we fulfill our roles, setting an example for others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this passage. Lord, I pray that as children, we may obey our parents as long as we're under their authority. We may honor them as long as they live. And Lord, if the time comes, may we provide for them just as you use them to provide for us. Lord, as parents, may we train up our children in love, not harshness, not causing them to lose heart, not frustrating them, but out of love and respect for them, looking at them as a gift from you. Lord, may we fulfill our roles and be an example in this community. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.